This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mike Tenier, lead NFL writer for the Bleacher Report, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Mike, how you doing?
Not as well as anyone else is doing these days. How you doing?
We are hanging in there and just, kind of waiting for the NFL draft to get here and obviously following free agency and upgrades and such. And we know some teams have done extremely well when it comes to the NFL offseason, the Packers picking up a couple of players and re-signing a couple of their own. But give me your sense. Blake Martinez gone, Brian Bulaga gone, Kirksey, Wagner both coming into the organization. Obviously, they need a Funchess as well. They needed another veteran wide receiver. They got it. Give me your thoughts on what the Packers have been able to accomplish.
Well, I like, kind of swapping out Martinez for Kirksey. I think that's a win there. I think you have a guy a little more upside, a little more diversity of ability if you get him and he stays healthy. I like that. I don't particularly hate the idea of swapping out Bulaga for Rick Wagner. Ricky Wagner had an off year last year, but it's hard to evaluate an offensive lineman playing with a third-string quarterback, playing with a scaled-down offense. You'll see a guy, and it's like, oh, he's giving up sacks and everything like that. Well, it's a 10-play playbook for a third-stringer, and the dude's holding the ball. In the past, Wagner was a good ball player. You get a little younger there, so I don't think that's a bad move. I try to look at the skill positions, and I try to go, one for one and some of the losses there along the way. I don't think it was a net gain, and I think the Packers do have to, and it seems like we say this every year, the Packers have to go into the draft and try to get upgrades at receiver, at the skill positions that way. I don't know what Funchess really offers a team right now. Kind of an odd signing right now. Lost some of the guys along the way. I think getting Mercedes Lewis back and all that, that's helpful a little bit. Lazard's coming back. That's also a plus there. But overall, you're a 13-3 team. You didn't fall backwards. Maybe you took a small step ahead with some of the additions you made on defense, offensive line. That's a pretty good outcome for the Packers.
When you talk about Blake Martinez, now I know his comments in the New York Daily News, we read him a little bit earlier, that Mike Pettine had basically told him, hey, what everybody else doesn't get, you clean up. Is there a devaluing of the inside linebacker position throughout the league or just within the Mike Pettine defense, do you think?
Oh, no, it's throughout the league. And Pettine, I thought, was somebody who used a lot of diverse different schemes and would get that linebacker more involved. But what you see more and more in the NFL is it's kind of a 3-3-5, 3-2-6 offense, not a 4-3 or 3-4. So you probably have two linebackers on there. And your traditional Mike linebacker, who would have been a superstar in 1978 and is still a superstar on the high school team, is a guy who might play two downs and then have to drop into coverage. And I know one of the big knocks on Martinez was how he looked in coverage. I remember him being kind of a liability in coverage against better running backs, et cetera. Whoever those linebackers are who are on the field, it's like your job will probably have to be to cover Alvin Kamara. Your job will probably be to cover Austin Eckler or Zeke Elliott when he's running, leaking out of the backfield. Those are tough assignments. The guys who can't do them are going to come off the field. They're going to get replaced with safeties and stuff like that. So one thing I like about Kirksey coming in is that he is a little more of a diverse talent. You can use him as a blitz package type of guy, and you can use him as a coverage linebacker. I don't know. I can't speak to the exact schemes, but I don't think you got that from Blake Martinez. And I think it might have been the Pettine wasn't confident using him that way, and that might have been why that was communicated in that way.
I've got to ask about the wide receiver depth in the draft, and my question is this, because as we watch this, Aaron Rodgers talks so much about trust. So we talk about a deep draft. We talk about how it's going to be wide receiver heavy, and there's a lot of quality wide receivers in the top, probably two rounds. But is it fair to say that a wide receiver is going to be able to come in and be impactful in this offense with a quarterback who demands trust right away? I mean, do we all of a sudden look for this offense to really start putting up 30 points a game?
Yeah, and that is a legitimate concern because it's gotten – Tom Brady sort of had a similar thing there at the late in his career in New England where they would bring in these wide receivers and suddenly they would not have an impact. And he's like, well, the ball's going back to Edelman over and over again. And why is this guy not know what he's doing? It's like there's a high level, an extreme, almost maybe, let's say, unrealistic level of expectation that the quarterback expects. And, you know, Packers fans can make up their own minds as to whether Aaron Rodgers thinks in a similar way. I've seen him drop back and look down the field and have that scowl on his face that everybody's not where they need to be. So that creates a problem because you're right. You have to look at this and say, you know, will he throw to these guys? At the same time, there are a lot of coordinators, and LaFleur could be in that position, who make things that make who design schemes that are easier for these wide receivers. If you look at Kyle Shanahan, for example, in the 49ers and what Deebo Samuel was doing all last year, those are, you know, sort of simple routes that are designed to, like, get him open. Yeah, he's running these shallow crosses, he's running reverses, he's doing things like that. I think LaFleur, who comes from that same kind of Shanahan family tree, has a lot of that in there. It's a matter of letting the players run the system and having everyone, including the quarterback, have faith in the system, and then you can have guys who can have an impact. But you're right about the depth of the class. I'm looking down a list right now of the receivers. I'm looking down at the 15th, 16th, 17th, 19th guy, 21st guy on these lists and say, those are guys who could probably come in and play a role for a team right away. And then there's guys like Brandon Ayuk from Arizona State who could be out there in the second round or third round who – any quarterback would be happy to deal with a guy who has this level of quickness and runs this kind of routes. The players are out there. You're right. It's got to be a schematic issue, and to a degree, it does have to be a quarterback faith and trust issue as well.
Who has had the most success so far in the offseason? I mean, obviously, Tampa Bay gets the big fish, which is Tom Brady, but the Cardinals have been very, very good. The Chargers have upgraded. Who's been one of the bigger winners, in your opinion?
I have to go with the Buffalo Bills because two things happen. One is they get Stephon Diggs, which you take a playoff team that had a deficiency at receiver and is still trying to develop their quarterback, and you instantaneously get rid of the deficiency, add a guy, you talk about, you know, trustworthy receivers, a guy who's going to be a trustworthy receiver for your quarterback who can do a lot of things, and you can pencil in going from, you know, 10 wins to 11 wins, 12 wins, just based on having that kind of improvement, especially when they didn't lose a lot of guys as well. And, of course, there's also addition by subtraction for the Buffalo Bills because when Tom Brady leaves, it opens up a question of how New England's going to proceed. It could turn New England into some sort of rebuilding team this year. And in the AFC East, where you know that the Dolphins are still a rebuilding team, I don't even know what to say about the Jets at this point. It could make the Bills instantly, by getting better, the team that's going to replace the Patriots and be the team that has 12 wins, 13 wins, even though they might not be a 12, 13-win caliber team because their division is so weak.
Mike Denier, NFL lead writer for the Bleacher Report. That was going to be my next question, is with the loss of Tom Brady, do the Bills automatically become the big dog in the East? And the question is, does Bill Belichick end up above 500? Because that was one of the questions that was asked to me the other day in Buy or Sell, and I thought, I can't discount what Bill Belichick has been able to do. As much as I want to say Tom Brady's departure means a lot of loss for this ball club, he's been able to get it done with the likes of Matt Castle and company whenever Brady's gone down. So do we just expect them to be above 500 again this year?
Yeah, I kind of see them right now on paper hovering around 500. I look at their defense, which is still loaded with its core veterans and great, great players. Look at the solid offensive line. You know, schematically, from the coaching staff, from the scouting department, all of that stuff remains intact there. So, you know, they're not going to get junk. They're not going to put junk on the field. There's going to be, you know, solid players, solid infrastructure. So then you replace Brady, who was a little bit on the downturn last year, and you replace him with Hoyer or Stidham turns out to be a prospect or somebody appears. And that still looks like 8-8, 9-7 to me. And it could be 8-8, 9-7, but oh my goodness, because again, the Jets lay an egg or because the Dolphins are still in a rebuilding mode, that becomes a 10-6. So I'm not writing them off by any stretch of the imagination to be a competitive team, to be a team that can turn around with another plan quickly. What it does look like for the Patriots is, you know, for decades, instinctively, we started the AFC conversation off with, oh, well, there's the Patriots and now we're saying it's the Chiefs, Ravens, And the Patriots might not be the team that goes into that and category until we list a couple others as well.
And then I've got to ask you about the NFC overall. I mean, the Packers obviously ended up behind San Francisco this year. You've seen what they've had a chance to do down in New Orleans. They expect to be back again this year. I think Minnesota got a little bit weaker. I don't know what the Bears are doing. Carolina's obviously trying to kind of reshuffle the deck down there. Where are the strengths in the NFC right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's there in Green Bay, clearly. I think it's still in San Francisco. I think they're keeping most of what they have intact. I think that both the Dallas and the Eagles, both the Cowboys and the Eagles, can right their ships to a degree this year, particularly the Eagles. That was a team that looked like they were a 13-3 caliber team until everyone got hurt. They come back with better health and with some lessons learned this year, they could be right back at the core of that. I don't think the Vikings are what they are. The Vikings are going to win about 10 or 11 games and lose in the playoffs. So you kind of just check that box there. And you still have the Saints, the powerhouse. And now we probably should talk about Tampa Bay Buccaneers being in that conversation as well. It's clearly all in. It's not just Brady. It's bringing back Sue. It's the fact that they have that top receiving core. They're going to be in the mix as well. What you have in the AFC, you've got a couple powerhouses, and then like some terrible teams that can never get out of their own way, and this sort of middle class. NFC right now, there's this aristocracy, and the Packers, Saints, et cetera, those teams are a part of it, and I don't know how much of that's going to change from year to year, and it makes it very hard to prognosticate. Because you don't have that many awful teams. You don't have the Bengals. You don't have the Jets. You don't have any place you can say, maybe you have it in Washington where you can pencil in three wins there. Most of these teams are going to be very competitive, and there's going to be teams that look like they have Super Bowl caliber talent. They're going to be battling for a wild card because of how competitive each and every division is.
Do you like the fact that they're going to press forward with the extra team going to the extra wild card on each side? They're going to put extra teams in the postseason?
It's not up to me. And I've been joking with people. It's like, for me as a writer, an extra playoff game means an extra game I have to watch. comes in January. And it's hard to talk about this right now when I would love to just be able to watch like a rugby event or something like that. But it's January, and I got to watch one more game. I got to stay home. I got to travel, et cetera, like that. And it's like first world problems. You're complaining about watching football. For fans, it's more football. So it's like, take it or leave it. Like, you can watch that game, you can bet that game, you can play day fantasy with that game, or you could not. You can wait for the game that you want. I don't think it dilutes it that badly in a world where a typical NBA season, you have these eighth seeds that just go out there to get hammered. I don't think it dilutes it that badly. I think you would see teams that would be interesting, like the Rams last year, I think would have been the other playoff team, getting them in there and get the chance. One thing that I did notice changes, I saw some guys run stats for this, being the first round bye in the new playoff system is going to be such a huge advantage over being the second round team, because only the first round bye gets the bye now. It used to be first and second seed get the bye. So there are going to be teams that crush it to try and make it to number one seed overall, end up the number two seed, have to play a first round game against some team like the Rams and getting beaten in the first round. And I think that's going to be interesting. That's going to be a dynamic to get used to. But overall, this is for the fans. This is for the television revenue. It's for the dollars. I'm all for it. I don't care if I have to work a little harder and be harder because of it.
Mike, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. I appreciate you joining us. Stay safe, and we're going to talk more down the road for sure, okay?
You got to take care. Stay safe, stay strong, and stay home, folks.
There you go. Appreciate it. Mike Tanier, lead NFL writer for the Bleacher Report. You can find him at Mike Tanier, T-A-N-I-E-R, on Twitter. He joins us on a Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years, they've been getting it done. Call them, 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com, 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.